Geostatistics Explained, Chapter 5, Doing Science Responsibly and Ethically. 5.1 Introduction. By now, you are likely to have a very clear idea of how science is done. Science is the process of rational inquiry, which seeks explanations for natural phenomena. Scientific method was discussed in a very prescriptive way in Chapter 2 as the proposal of a hypothesis from which predictions are made and tested by doing experiments. Depending on the results, which may have been analyzed statistically, may have to be analyzed statistically, the decision is made either to retain or reject the hypothesis. This process of knowledge by disproof advances our understanding of the natural world and seems impartial and hard to fault. Unfortunately, this is not necessarily the case, because science is done by human beings who sometimes do not behave responsibly or ethically. Ain't that the truth? For example, some scientists fail to give credit to those who have helped them propose a new hypothesis. Others make up, change, or delete results so their hypothesis is not rejected, omit details to prevent the detection of poor experimental design, and deal unfairly with the work of others. Most scientists are not taught about responsible behavior and are supposed to learn a code of conduct by example. Considering the number of cases of scientific irresponsibility that have been exposed, this does not seem to have been a very good strategy. Thus, this chapter is about the importance of behaving responsibly and ethically when doing science. 5.2. Dealing fairly with other people's work. 5.2.1. Plagiarism. Plagiarism is the theft and use of techniques, data, words, or ideas without the appropriate acknowledgement. If you are using an experimental technique or procedure devised by someone else or data owned by another person, you must acknowledge this. If you have been reading another person's work, it is easy to inadvertently use some of their phrases, but plagiarism is the repeated and excessive use of text without acknowledgement. Once your work is published, any detected plagiarism can affect your credibility and your career. Quite remarkably, we have detected plagiarism in manuscripts we have been asked to review, including cases where material from the same journal has been copied. 5.2.2. Acknowledging previous work. Previous studies can be extremely valuable because they can add weight to a hypothesis or even suggest other hypotheses to test. There's a surprising tendency for scientists to fail to acknowledge previous published work by others in the same area, sometimes to the extent that experiments done 2 or 3 decades ago are repeated and presented as new findings. Oh, that's terrible! This can be an honest mistake, in that the researcher is unaware of the previous work, yeah, I suppose, but it is now far easier to search the scientific literature than it used to be. So no excuses. I'm commentating a lot on this paragraph, sorry. When you submit your work to a scientific journal for publication, it may be embarrassing to be told that something similar has been done before. Even if a reviewer or the editor of the journal does not notice, others may and are likely to say so in print. 5.2.3. Fair dealing. Some researchers cite the work done by others in the same field, but downplay or even distort it. Yeah, I know someone who that has happened to. Although it appears that the previous work in the field has been acknowledged because the publication is listed in the citations at the back of the paper or report, the researcher has nevertheless been somewhat dishonest. We have found this in about 5% of papers we have reviewed, but it may be more common because it is quite hard to detect unless you're very familiar with the work. Often the problem seems to arise because the writer has only read the abstract of a paper, which can be misleading. It is important to carefully read and critically evaluate previous work in your field because it will improve the quality of your own research. Acknowledging the input of others. Oh, that's 5.2.4. Often, hypotheses may arise from discussions with colleagues or your supervisor. This is an accepted choice of how an accepted aspect of how science is done. If, however, the discussion has been relatively one-sided in that someone has suggested useful and novel hypotheses to you, then you should seriously think about acknowledgement. A colleague once said bitterly, quote, "My suggestions become someone else's original thoughts in a matter of seconds," unquote. Acknowledgement can be a mention in a section headed acknowledgments at the end of a report or paper, or you may even consider including the person as an author. If you are ever in doubt as to which of these is more appropriate, remember that being generous and including someone as a co-author, with his or her permission, of course, costs you very little compared to the risk of alienating them if they are omitted. Often, asking the person what they think is an appropriate way to solve this problem. It is not surprising that disputes often arise between supervisors and their postgraduate students about authorship of papers. Some supervisors argue that they have facilitated all of the students' work by being the supervisor and therefore expect their name to be included on all papers from the research. Others recognize that single-authored papers may be important to the student's future and thus do not insist on this. The decision depends on the amount and type of input and rests with the principal author of the paper, but it is often helpful to clarify the matter of authorship and acknowledgement with your supervisors at the start of a postgraduate program or new job. 5.3. Doing the sampling or the experiment. 5.3.1. Approval. In some cases, you will need prior permission to undertake an experiment, including submitting a risk assessment for an experimental procedure or fieldwork that may expose you or others to potential hazards. If you are sampling in a national park or reserve, you will need a permit. In both cases, you will have to give a well-reasoned argument for doing the work, including its likely advantages and disadvantages. In many countries and institutions, there are severe penalties for breaches of permits or doing research without prior permission. 5.3.2. Ethics. Ethics are moral judgments where you have to decide whether something is right or wrong, so different scientists can have different ethical views. Ethical issues include honesty and fair dealing, but they also extend to whether experimental procedures can be justified. For example, some scientists think that it is right to test cosmetic products on animals such as rabbits or rats because it will reduce the likelihood of harming humans or causing pain to humans, while others think it is wrong because it may cause pain and suffering to the animals. Both groups of scientists would probably be puzzled if someone said it was unethical to do experiments on insects or plants. Similarly, some scientists believe it is wrong to extract minerals or oil from areas of wilderness because of the potential for damaging those ecosystems, while others believe the need to obtain these resources is sufficient justification for extraction. Importantly, however, none of these views can be considered the best or most appropriate because ethical standards are not absolute. Provided a person honestly believes, for any reason, that it is right to do what they are doing, then they are behaving ethically. And it is up to you to decide what is right. The remainder of this section is about ethical conduct of research, rather than whether a research topic or procedure is considered ethical. 5.4. Evaluating and reporting results. Once you have the results of an experiment, then you need to analyze them and discuss the results in terms of rejection or retention of your hypothesis. Unfortunately, some scientists have been known to change the results of experiments to make them consistent with their hypotheses, which is grossly dishonest. We suspect this practice is more common than reported. It may be encouraged by assessment procedures in universities and colleges where grades are given for correct outcomes of practical experiments. When we ask undergraduate students in our statistics classes if they have ever altered their data to fit the expectations of their assignments, we tend to get a lot of very guilty looks. Yeah, that's a thing. Gotta have that lab in on time. We have also known researchers who were dishonest. One had a regression line that was not statistically significant, so they changed the data until it was. Ooh, yikes. The second made up entire sets of data for sampling on field trips that never occurred. What the fuck? And a third made up large quantities of data for the results of laboratory analyses that were queried by their supervisor because their data were, quote, too good, unquote. All were found out, and all are no longer doing science. It has been suggested that part of the problem stems from people being attached to their hypotheses and believing that they are true, which goes completely against science proceeding by disproof. Some researchers are quite downcast when their results are inconsistent with their hypothesis. However, you need to be impartial about the results of any experiment and remember that a negative result is just as important as a positive one, because the understanding of the world has progressed in both cases. Another cause of dishonesty is that scientists are often under extraordinary pressure to provide evidence for a particular hypothesis. There are often career and financial rewards for finding solutions to problems or suggesting new models of natural processes. Competition among scientists for jobs, promotion, and recognition is intense and can also foster dishonesty. The problem with scientific dishonesty is that the person has not reported what is really occurring. Science aims to describe the real world, so if you fail to reject a hypothesis, and when a result suggests you should, you will report a false and misleading view of the process under investigation. Future hypotheses and research based on these findings are likely to produce results inconsistent with your findings. There have been some spectacular cases where scientific dishonesty has been revealed, which have only served to undermine the credibility of the scientific process. 5.4.1. Pressure from peers or superiors. Sometimes, inexperienced, young, or contract researchers have been pressured by their superiors to falsify or give misleading interpretations of their results. It is far better to be honest and then risk being associated with work that may subsequently be shown to be flawed. One strategy for avoiding such pressure is to keep good written records. 5.4.2. Record keeping. Some research groups, especially in industry, are so concerned about honesty that they have a code of conduct. All researchers have to keep records of their ideas, hypotheses, methods, and results in a hardbound laboratory book with numbered pages that are all signed and dated on a daily or weekly basis by the researcher and supervisor. Not only can this be scrutinized if there is any doubt about the work, including who thought of something first, but it also encourages good data management and sequential record keeping. Results kept on pieces of loose paper with no reference to the methods used can be quite hard to interpret when the work is written up for publication. 5.5. Quality control in science. Publication in refereed journals ensures that your work is scrutinized by at least one referee, who is a specialist in the research field. Nevertheless, this process is more likely to detect obvious and inadvertent mistakes than deliberate dishonesty, and many journal editors have admitted that work they publish is likely to be flawed. Institutional strategies for quality control of the scientific process are becoming more common, and many have rules about the storage and scrutiny of data. At the same time, however, there is a need for many institutions for explicit guidelines about the penalties for misconduct, together with the mechanisms for handling alleged cases of misconduct reported by others. The responsibility for doing good science is often left to the researcher. It applies to every aspect of the scientific process, including devising logical hypotheses, doing well-designed experiments, and using and interpreting statistics appropriately, together with honesty, responsible and ethical behavior, and fair dealing. 5.6. Questions. Ooh, this is going to be hypotheticals, I bet. 1. A college lecturer said, quote, "For the course Geostatistical Methods, the grade a student gets for the exam has always been fairly similar to the one they get for the assignment, give or take about 15%. I'm a busy person, so I'll just copy the assignment grades into the column marked exam on the spreadsheet and not bother to grade the exams at all. It's really fair of me because the students get stressed during the exam anyway and may not perform as well as they should." Unquote. Please discuss. Oofta, bud. Oofta. 2. I guess on 1, yeah, could have that conversation with the class, maybe, and maybe even do a referendum if you really want to do it, but they at least have to know about it. You need to at least have that be transparent. Otherwise, they're going to study their asses off for something that they didn't need to, / also just, you know, maybe you have someone who does better on tests. Who knows? That'll screw them over. 2. An environmental scientist said, quote, "I did a small pilot experiment with 2 replicates in each treatment and got the result we hoped for. I didn't have time to do a bigger experiment, but that didn't matter. If you get the result you want with a small experiment, the same thing will happen if you run it with many more replicates. So when I published the result, I said I used 12 replicates in each treatment." What? Unquote. What? What? No! Please comment thoroughly and carefully on all aspects of this statement. Ah! No. First of all, that's not true. You won't necessarily get the same results with a bigger experiment, because the smaller the experiment, the more likely that you just get some sort of random result and you have to do a bigger experiment to ensure that the result you get isn't like a fluke. So that first part isn't true. Secondly, even if it were, falsifying data in a publication would be pretty bad. So yeah, there's like 2 big problems with that one, at least. And that's it for that chapter.